Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We do have open lines right now, 844-322-2742. Andrew Farley joins us today as well. Today is the last day of the month. We're going to put anxiety in its place once and for all. And today we're going to conclude this month of talking about emotions, depression, anxiety, fear, how to break free from those bondages and experience peace. We're going to end it with the words of Jesus in chapter 6 of Matthew, starting in verse 25. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." That's a pretty general term and covers every aspect of our lives. He talks about what we will eat, what we will wear, all of those particular things. And then he gets down to the end of it and says, "For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus gives us some pretty clear words on how to overcome anxiety in this particular passage, doesn't he, guys?
Yeah, and you notice that he references these outsiders. At the time, the outsiders were Gentiles. Of course, that's not the case anymore, but he's referencing how the world does business, how the world acts, how the world operates, how the world seeks purpose and meaning. And then he's saying, we don't have to do that. I mean, we can jump off that train. We don't have to let that anxiety and fear and worry about everything turning out okay. We don't have to let that consume us, be our obsession. We don't have to be, you know, motivated by all that fear. And so the outsiders at that time were the Gentiles, and they were the ones who didn't know Yahweh. Well, today the world are the outsiders. I mean, there are people that are outside of Christ, and sometimes we act like we're outside of Christ, guys, but the fact that we're in means that we really are safe and secure and that he's going to take care of us.
Yeah, there's a phrase that we used to use a lot on this broadcast, practical atheist. And a lot of times we as believers live as if God didn't exist. And that's why this worry becomes excessive and can turn into anxiety and depression and ultimately despair. And so what Jesus is telling us today is to live as if God really does exist, as if God really does care for us, because that's truth. He does exist. He's made himself known in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's evidence that he cares for us, and that's the encouragement to each and every one of us to cast our cares upon him. Worry doesn't add a single day to our lives. It doesn't change our circumstances. So no need to worry about things. Simply trust the Lord. Seek him. Seek his righteousness. And we have that righteousness in Christ already. We've already been made righteous. We have our right standing before God. That means so much, and that is even more evidence that he cares for us and more encouragement to cast those cares upon him. So we don't need to live as practical atheists. We need to live as people who truly know Jesus, have Jesus alive, living in us, attached to his love, knowing, convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that nothing can separate us from his love, and move about our business, living in that confidence. Yes. That's what Jesus is calling us to in this particular passage, and it's a beautiful way to live, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think about the idea of just not worrying, and sometimes you tell people, hey, don't worry. Well, you know, good luck with that. I mean, apart from any reason, any rationale, to just tell someone, hey, don't worry, that doesn't do them any favors. And, I've been thinking about when we're told not to worry, I mean, is that really going to work? Do I wake up and just say, okay, I'm not going to worry, I'm not going to worry, I'm not going to worry? Then I'm all worried about being worried. And the reality is what you said there, Bob, about knowing Jesus. I mean, that's the focus here. So, yeah, the symptom is fear, the symptom is anxiety, the symptom is worry. But that's just a symptom. It's a symptom of where I'm looking. I'm trying to look at tomorrow instead of looking at Jesus today. And so I would say, you know, we don't want to just put a Band-Aid on the symptom and say, I better not worry, I better not worry. Really, the key to this is, number one, hey, you're free to feel anything. I mean, you're free to feel all kinds of things. But the answer here is not to try to fix your feelings, but instead get a hold of your thoughts and fix your eyes, fix your focus on who Jesus is toward you. That's the only thing that's really going to alleviate the worry.
Yes, and I love what Jesus said. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all these things we get so worried about, money issues, certainly in ministry, trying to raise funds, that can be worrisome. It can give anxiety, but God already knows what we need, and yes, He has already promised to meet all of our needs according to His riches in glory. We have a wonderful foundation to build our lives upon and to learn to actually trust in the midst of all of these anxious moments that we as human beings go through. We have one who died, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let's learn to walk by faith in Him. That will put anxiety in its place. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742 is the number. If you have a question about anxiety, maybe you're feeling anxious over something in your life, we would love to help point you to the Word of God and a solution through faith in Jesus Christ. Call right now, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. If you are listening to us on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, ask a question through the comment section. Simply write your question there, and we will respond to it on the air today. So we would love to hear from you on Facebook Live. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley joins us as well. We want to hear from you right now. And a reminder to our listeners, we have some wonderful resources that we have put together to help you break out of your emotional pitfalls. And we all go through them. And when we're overwhelmed with those emotions, we find it very difficult to find our way out, to give up those negative emotions and exchange them for the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's why we've put this resource together called The Breakout. It will help you experience that path to peace, even when you're in the worst condition that you could ever imagine emotionally. There is a way out of that. There is a path to peace, and that's what this two CD series talks about, The Breakout. We want to put that in your hands. It's available to you this month. Today is the last day for a gift to Basic Gospel. Your gift to Basic Gospel will help us get this information to more and more people around the country and literally around the world. So go to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button. Follow all the instructions and be sure to request your copy of The Breakout. We will send along with that a pamphlet that we produced, yes, called The Biblical Path to Peace. It is a wonderful chart that will help you analyze where you are, how you got to where you are, and will show you a clear path to experiencing the peace of God that passes all understanding. So request that. We would love to send it to you, available for your gift this month, The Basic Gospel. Just visit basicgospel.net. Follow all the information on our homepage right there. Well, 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you right now. Richard, do we have an email question?
Yes, we do, from someone named Antoine. And this refers to something I said a week or so ago. He says, what did you mean when you recently said to look at the book of James as a proverb? Well, what I meant was, if you look at the book of Proverbs that Solomon wrote, It was a record of the things that he learned as he stumbled through life. It had all this wisdom. He got out in the weeds, ran amok, just messed up his life. He learned a bunch of things, and he recorded those things. And there are these pithy statements all the way through the book of Proverbs. The book of James reads very similarly. Remember, James, as the brother of Jesus, initially didn't believe in him at all. He just thought Jesus was crazy. As he began to learn what Jesus was all about and what God had done for him, James, through his brother Jesus, and therefore for the rest of us, he wrote and spoke in Proverbs-like ways, very direct, very pithy statements. The difference, of course, is that Proverbs in the Old Testament was written in the context of the Old Covenant. James in the New Testament is written from the context of the New Covenant, and therefore is completely consistent with things that Paul wrote, or Peter, or John. And so I found it helpful when I read James to remember that he is just giving these little nuggets of wisdom to us, because that's the way he communicated. That's the way the Spirit communicated to us through him. And I think it was a wonderful way for him to put that little letter together.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for that question and answer, Richard. You did that well. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with Brad. Hi, Brad.
How doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I told Michelle that I wanted to talk to the legalism experts.
That's us?
Yeah.
Because I might be... Who's all on today?
We have Andrew and Richard and myself.
Oh, my goodness. Got the full panel. Okay. You know, I wrote y'all an email just kind of expressing me. I love to listen to praise and worship music, okay? And when I listen to it, I insert myself into it versus we or something like that. But I just kind of maybe feel like maybe I'm getting a little legalistic on it, because it seems to me that, you know, especially when they're singing out to God to come down and visit us and come be amongst us, and that just kind of gets me, and I guess I understand it. If they haven't been taught these wonderful messages about grace and new covenant, identity, I guess maybe they don't really understand what's taking place with them.
Yeah. I mean, Brad, I kind of think of it as the milk and meat thing. I mean, you know, when we're babes in Christ, I mean, even when we were, if you were saved as a child, some of us were saved as little children, and, you know, we're saying our prayers at night before we hit our head hits the pillow. We say our prayers to God up in heaven, and we imagine him sort of far off, and we fire up our prayer requests. And then, you know, in youth group, maybe we were told, well, there's certain things you got to do during prayer. You got to start with adoration and get him all buttered up and tell him how great he is, and then confess everything and get clean, and then you can thank him for the stuff you do have, and then finally you can ask him for the stuff you don't have. So, you know, we go from the long-distance phone call to the formulaic prayer, and then lo and behold, I don't know, when we're 18 or 38 or 78, somewhere along our journey, we figure out what union with Christ really means, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. he lives in us and that we're one with him. And so,
right,
you know,
I
yeah, and so that's going to affect the way we write songs, the way we perform songs and sing songs, and the way that songs are selected in church. I mean, sometimes those songs reflect a very small view of God. Sometimes they reflect a very distant relationship, where it seems like some songs are almost whining and begging and pleading for God to visit or come near or stay near, or, you know, be what we need him to be. And, you know, the truth is he already is those things. He's already near. He's already equipped us. We're already complete. We're already united with Christ. It's not a long distance phone call up to heaven. He lives right inside of us. So I'm with you. I mean, you know, we don't need to be musical Nazis about all this or anything, right. But at the same time, you know, you're right to throw up a red flag of concern in your mind and just say, hey, I'm not going to let some of these songs be my belief system. When I sing them, sure, maybe I'll sing them along with the congregation, but I'm fully aware that there's some stuff in here that doesn't really line up with how incredible the gospel really is.
That is so true. I appreciate the answer, and I'll tell you what happened last night. When this critical, I mean, I don't want to have a critical spirit about me or around me. So what I did is I wrote my buddies at Basic Gospel an email and kind of expressed what I was going through. But, you know, I prayed for this particular person and the different groups and all these people that they would come to know this wonderful message of grace and new covenant and freedom and, you know, all these things that we know and can experience and just truly enjoy all the spiritual blessings and everything pertaining to godliness and life. And that's what I'm doing. So
yeah.
I just appreciate y'all being there and absolutely love each one of you and just praise God and thank God for your ministry and the fact that it doesn't happen by osmosis, but you know what? It does happen when you're overwhelmed and drowned in God's love. it just gets in, and I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brad. We sure appreciate hearing from you as always. Our good friend from O'Fallon, Missouri, he's having a wonderful ministry there, reaching into the lives of so many people. And he is right, Andrew, about song lyrics. They're not always based on truth. They're back in the old covenant. And we need to be over here in this new covenant where all of those promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And back to our topic of the day, bad theology can produce anxious moments.
Sure can.
It can make us live as practical atheists. If we think God is way up there, that he is distant, and we have to do something to get clean before him, before he will act on our behalf, we're going to live as practical atheists. We're not going to entrust our cares to him, knowing that he cares for us. We're going to have a different view of God. So truth matters. Doctrine matters. And realizing that we're in this new covenant where all of these promises have been fulfilled in Christ matters.
Yeah.
It changes how we approach those anxious moments in life big time.
Yeah, you know, even if we're not a practical atheist at times, it seems like sometimes we're a practical pagan. And what I mean by that is, sure, we believe in God and, you know, we even call him by the right name and we are saved and all that sort of stuff. We are a practical pagan, though, when we treat it like, you know, we need to dance around the campfire and hope that he swoops down out of heaven to give us a good harvest this year and, you know, visit us in this place. Come, you know, come be in this place. Pour all over us. Pour yourself on us. Pour into our lives. Pour into this place. And we're begging and pleading and hoping and waiting and doing all the right dancing and all the right repetition of song verses, and we're waiting for the Spirit. And so we believe in a God at that point, and we believe in the Holy Spirit at that point, and we believe in Jesus at that point, but we're still acting like practical pagans because pagan religions talk about how we have to work up something in order to get divinity to visit our humanity for just a time. And then, of course, it will be dismissed. It, some sort of nebulous force or a deity, will be dismissed. And then we call upon the deity again to visit. And so this coming and going and coming and going, it's very law-based. It's very much a man-made religion. And it's very much paganism in that sense. So we end up acting like practical pagans.
Yeah. And that's worse than practical atheists, almost, I tell you.
It's all bad.
Oh,
all
yes,
bad.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you sounded like you've been there in the past, Andrew.
Well, let me say this. I've been to enough church services of so many types out there to see the gamut. And,
yes.
You know, I don't think we need to, you know, focus on that and end on a downer. But the good news is, I mean, you know, we don't have to do any of that. I mean, if you're one with Christ and he lives in you and you live in him, we don't have to, you know, sing the right songs and beg and plead for an hour for Jesus Christ to visit us. I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit. We're complete. We're lacking nothing. We have everything we need for life and godliness. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So that's why the whole thing just seems absurd when you witness that sort of begging and pleading and waiting for a visitation. That's why we call it paganism, because in comparison with the truth, I mean, it's really pretty sad, and the truth is so much better.
Yes, it is, and that truth will set us free. That's the good news. Well, let's go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk with Andrew. Hi, Andrew. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. It's good to hear you all again, and thank you for taking my call. My question is, when Paul was talking, I have two, right, quick. When Paul was talking about the death, burial, and resurrection, I was wondering why he mentioned ascension, because a lot of people add that to it. And then I've been hearing a lot of people teaching about grace, and then a lot of the grace preachers seem to be gravitate towards what they're saying. But they're saying because of God's grace, if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, then Christ, Jesus, is obligated to give you good health and wealth. And I was wondering, he might have added something to it, and it doesn't seem like it should be correct, but you know, we have a lot of people who are saying that. We have other people with great philosophy who are, you know, kind of supporting those kind of people in that conversation. I was wondering if you could speak to that for a few minutes.
Well, sure, Andrew. We appreciate your call. Good question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, guys, there's two different ones here, and they're both great questions. First, you know, the ascension is a big deal, because if I'm in Christ and he just crucified me with him and buried me with him, that would not be near the work that he needed to do. And so he took me through resurrection. And then Ephesians chapter 2 says, and he raised us up and seated us with Christ in heavenly places. So to me, the ascension, that's the final work of what Christ did. He didn't ascend to the right hand of God just for fun. I mean, he did it for very practical reasons. He actually took us with him. Ephesians 2 says this, that we were raised and seated with him. So that ascension was critical, not just a physical ascension to show people who he was and demonstrate his power over death and his power over the world, but even more so spiritually, to include us in that and to raise us up and seat us right next to God. We got the best seat in the house. And you know, I mean, to just touch on that second one, the health wealth thing, guys, I mean, you know, he's right. We've got preachers that are saying grace, 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 and new covenant this, new covenant that, and then they're tacking on guaranteed health and guaranteed wealth, and they're even using some of the same terminology. They'll say, oh, well, you know, guaranteed health is part of the finished work of Christ. Guaranteed wealth and health are part of what Jesus did on the cross. And, you know, it basically comes down to the idea of taking a passage out of context, that by his stripes we are healed. Healed from what? Well, in context, we're healed from our sins. We're healed from our transgressions. So God does miracles, but these things aren't guaranteed. That's why they're miracles. We have to submit to God's timing, God's way, and ultimately, guys, there is a reason that we are getting a new resurrection body someday. There's a reason we're going to heaven, because we need a resurrection physically, don't we?
Yes, we do, and we need to be where Christ is, and that's why that ascension is so vitally important. You know, you're talking about the wealth and prosperity, health and prosperity, gospel messages that are out there. We want to be in a position where, regardless of what life throws our way, that we can genuinely, authentically say it is well with our souls. That's what the gospel message enables us to say. And it gets right back to our topic for the month. We have lots to worry about. We have financial issues. We have relationship issues. We have health issues. We have all sorts of things that hit us on a day-to-day basis. But we have a God who cares. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who has promised to meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory. We can trust him. We can say thank you. And as we do, we can say it is well with our souls. Well, thank you for joining us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. We hope you will join us then. Remember, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast. We need your help. We need your help now. If you can help, go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Make a contribution, and when you do, request your copy of The Breakout. We'll see you tomorrow. So long.